Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with writer guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And you gotta love this time of year. The theme of this podcast today is good teams play in the snow. And yes, we've got provincial high school football championship games on our mind. We're going to talk with Brent Keeler. He's the head coach of the Centennial Chargers out of Saskatoon. They're coming down to Regina to face the Campbell Tartans in the 4A provincial high school football championship. Speaking of the Tartans, we'll speak to one of their grade 12 receivers. That's Harrison Hans Larson as he talks about his final game in high school football. We're also going to speak with Mike Humaney. He's the president of Football Saskatchewan, but he's also the head coach of the North Battleford Vikings. They're going to tangle with Yorkton in the 3A Provincial High School Football Championship this weekend in North Battleford. We're going to speak with Tom Sargent. He knows a thing or two about winning. He's the head coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops. They go after their fourth straight national championship and seventh Canadian Bowl in the last 8 years as they play Windsor AKO Fratman out east this weekend. Tom will stop by to give us his thoughts. And of course, three-time Grey Cup champ Paul Waldo comes by and gives us his thoughts on the upcoming CFL playoffs. And hey, how are the Riders going to do? Paul will give us his thoughts on what he thinks in a couple of predictions. That's all straight ahead. It's Growing the Game, brought to you by our good friends over there at Mako Collision Repair Center in Regina. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. Go see our good friends Alan Mann and Joe Cardiff and the gang over there. They do great work. All right, first out of the chute, we're going to speak with the head coach of the Centennial Chargers, Brent Keeler, out of Saskatoon. How are you today, Brent?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being on it. When I'm talking to you this late in the season, that means you're doing something right, because as we've been talking about here, or we will talk about on this podcast, good teams play in the snow. How do you like the ring of that?
Absolutely. You know, anytime it's cold out and there's snow on the ground, you know you've done something right for a football season, so... You know, it becomes a little bit different game as the snow falls, but it becomes fun as you get near the end as well.
How is this weather changing your game plan?
You know what? We like to run the ball all year long, so we had a little more balanced attack this year with, spreading it out a little bit. But I think at heart we're a running team, so it suits us just fine.
Talk about your team's confidence level coming into this one here in Regina. First off, knocking off Holy Cross, a previously unbeaten team.
Yeah, you know, we didn't really know what to expect this year. We knew we were going to have a good offense, but our defense is very young. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you just try to get better every week and you don't really look too far ahead, and it paid off for us. Just kind of the idea that we improve on defense every week will be fine at the end, and that's exactly what happened. Just looking forward to the provincial final. You know, we don't get much tape on those guys, so it's really hard to tell because the game plan can change quite a bit from week to week. So you're really looking at a snippet of a game that's not, you know, prepared for you. So we're not really too sure what to expect, but we'll be ready for what we do see on film.
All right. So before we talk about this game, how about go back to last week's game playing the Holy Cross squad there? And as I understand it, you guys get up and then have to hold off a late charge. Is that the case? Then win in overtime, of course.
Absolutely. You know, Holy Cross is never going to give up. We were up by 2 scores, and then you just kind of see the momentum change, and it's just a matter of weathering the storm. And then in overtime, we were fortunate to pick the ball off and get a turnover. And then Coghill finished it off for us with a nice run at the very end of the game.
What are the boys feeling like here heading up to Regina playing in the new stadium in the first season for all the marbles?
They're excited. You know, I think the new stadium adds something else to it as well. So there'll be a little bit of a shock factor, I'm sure, when we get there, a little bit of nerves. But it's just a matter of, you know, we approach every game the same as far as our preparation and the routine that we go through. We very much emphasize, hey, let's just take this one play at a time this year and get it done.
I like to highlight coaches and players on this podcast, Growing the Game. So Brent Keeler, head coach, talk about maybe some of the coaches and support staff that have helped you along this year and in this journey.
Absolutely, yeah. We have Tyler O'Gorman. He's our OC. I think he's been doing it for 5 years now, 4 years now, and he just does a great job. He puts in countless hours coming up with the game plan to give us a chance to be successful. Corey Jones, another guy, he's our kind of our receiver coach, our quarterback coach, our everything coach. He was coaching on the other sideline the last time in 2010 when they beat us for provincial. So we're more than excited to have him with us. And then defensively, Scott Arrow does our D-line and our DBs sometimes. And, you know, he's just put in a solid effort this year. Our O-line coach, Coach Calbita and Coach Durr, they'll have the boys ready as well. So I'm fortunate that I have an excellent coaching staff, and we're just excited for the opportunity to play in the final.
Obviously, the kids won't know about 2010 in terms of being on the field to experience that loss to Campbell. The last time Campbell won a championship, for those listening, they beat the Centennial Chargers to win that provincial championship. I believe that game was up in Saskatoon, if I'm not mistaken. This one, of course, like we said, at the Mosaic Stadium here in Regina. But will that be kind of a theme and a message for you this week?
Not really. You know, things are always, life springs new eternal in high school football. So, like you say, most of the guys, you know, that's way past their time. And I'm the only coach left from that time period. So, you know, it's you got to have a new outlook and a new attitude for each season in high school football because there is such a high changeover. So, yeah, that's not much a motivating factor. We're just happy to be have the opportunity to play for a provincial title.
Brent Keeler, head coach of the Centennial Chargers out of Saskatoon, playing for the 4A Provincial High School Football Championship at Mosaic Stadium against the Campbell Tartans this weekend. How long have you been the head coach there, Brent?
This is my fourth year as the head coach and my 10th year helping out as a coach for the Chargers.
So why do you like the coach?
Oh, you know, I think for me, watching players develop from the time we take them either in grade 10 or when they come in grade 11, and then when they leave in grade 12, you know, that's a special thing when you see a kid who's maybe not so good in his first year or his second year, but then when he's in his grade 12 year, he really starts to figure it out and get it. And nowadays, there's just so many opportunities for post-secondary football. It's just great to see these guys turn into young men, and then it's exciting to watch them when they make the Huskies or the Rams or the Thunder. Or the Hilltops. So it's as a coach, that's what I get out of it, is just seeing these players develop and become great citizens.
What's your biggest challenge as a coach at the high school level?
You know, the turnover. You're always reteaching. You don't really, you know, very rarely do you have a veteran group that you can just put something in and not explain every detail about it. That's just high school football. You have to come with a fresh attitude and a fresh start every year because it's quite the building process to make it to a provincial final.
All right. So in terms of Campbell, you said you don't know a heck of a lot about him. What do you think you're going to have to do to beat these guys? I guess every coach says that we just worry about ourselves. So you finish the sentence for me, Brent Keeler. If the Saskatoon Centennial Chargers are to win the provincial championship, they have to...
play Charger football, which is physical football. We're going to worry about ourselves, like you say, and we just, you know, we're just going to try to execute the best we can and be a real physical on the field and hopefully get the job done on Saturday.
So is this a same day trip for you, or do you guys come up early and stay overnight?
We're going to come overnight. I think it gives the boys the best opportunity to kind of get, you know, get their heads right, get a good night's sleep, and be ready to go for Saturday.
It's really, does it, you know, we talk about being a coach and one of your favorite things. Does it take you back to yesteryear? Does it kind of rewind the tape for you back when you were a kid?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, high school football is one of those things where there's just a lot of enjoyment. You know, as much as it is about we're trying to win a game, there's a lot of great friendships being made here, and that certainly was the case for me. Growing up, and it's just a special opportunity to play football in Saskatchewan. I think as a high school coach, and I remember back to playing, we do it better than just about anywhere in the country here as far as high school football goes. So it's a special opportunity anytime you get opportunities like this.
Brent, lastly, we talked about your coach. Let's talk about some of your players. Let's make them a star. Give me some of the names that we can watch for here at Mosaic Stadium.
Sure. Offensively, Rodine Brown. He's a highly sought after recruit on our offensive line. He just dominates his position. You know, I think he's one of the best O linemen in the province, and he proves that every game in attitude and ability. Dylan Hines, he's one of our better receivers. Catches just about anything that comes in his territory. Great possession guy. And then Obviously, Thomas Coghill just ran the ball, possessed last game. So we're looking for the same things out of those guys. Defensively, it's kind of been by committee this year. Like, you know, it's been such a team game where one week we'll have a guy stand out, and the next week a new guy steps forward. So Carter Stadnick's been real strong for us at safety. Reese Kack has been dominant on the D-line for us. And then for our linebackers, good Jordan Levesque. He's come in and filled in, and then Braden Robertson had a solid season at will linebacker for us this year too. So it's kind of been by committee on the defensive side of the ball.
That's Brent Keeler, head coach of the Saskatoon Centennial Chargers. Good luck, Brent.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
I'm former Rider Chris Best, and you're listening to the Growing the Game podcast.
Time to get the Regina perspective on the 4A Provincial High School Football Championship. We're speaking with Harrison Lars Hansen, receiver with the Campbell Tartans. How are you, Harrison?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
Good, man. So a grade 12 student. First of all, how did it feel to finally get over the hump and beat LeBold this last week?
Oh, it was amazing. Being at Campbell, it's always been a huge rivalry, Campbell and LeBold, and it feels good to be on the correct side of the leaderboard for once.
Yeah, things were looking kind of bleak at the start. What was the feeling on the bench when you guys fell down early there?
Oh, yeah. We were just surprised. Just took us a while to get into the game. We were all a little nervous, but we all calm. We all knew we've been in the situation before and just let the game play out and do our thing.
So what's it mean to you here to play your final ever game in the new Mosaic Stadium, first season there, and you get a chance to win a provincial championship?
Oh, it's incredible. I'm so excited. As with the rest of the guys, we're all ready to play, ready to perform in front of our fans and bring the championship trophy back to Campbell.
Yeah, that hasn't happened since 2010 when Campbell actually beat the Centennial Chargers to win that championship back then, so it's kind of ironic. Has that been talked about in your clubhouse here this week?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit talking about how long it's been since Campbell's had one of these trophies and how little this opportunity comes around, so we've been talked about a lot about how we have to take advantage of this great opportunity we have in front of us.
Do you have future aspirations to play after this game and into your, into college or something like that, Harrison?
Yeah, I think so. As long as my academics are good and I continue to work out and just grind in the off season, I think I have some good aspirations to play post-secondary sports.
What do you want to take in school once you graduate here at Campbell?
I'm thinking engineering or medicine, something to do with that.
Oh, so you're not going to be a dumb radio announcer is what you're telling me, hey?
No.
Okay, Harrison. Harrison Lars Hansen joining us here. What do you know about the Centennial Chargers as you get ready for the big game?
You know, they got a couple good guys, some good special teams, good O, good D, a couple of big guys on the line, so we've been keying those guys out.
So if somebody was to come watch this game on Saturday at Mosaic Stadium, what number do you wear? And describe your play. Like, if you had to do the scouting report on Harrison Lars Hansen, how would you describe your play?
Okay, all right. I'm number 83. I play slot back on the field side. I'm a bigger guy. Like to block. Like to get physical. Like bring down hard catches and run with the football.
How long have you been playing football for, Harrison?
In total, it's been 8 years, three with Campbell.
So what got you into football?
I loved watching it on TV, and I always wanted to get a chance to play it. So after just following some NFL, CFL, watching that, I always just have been so interested in it. So then I just took that to the field.
So who are some of the guys you look up to and want to emulate and copy?
In the NFL, guys like Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, CFL, Jerron Carter, Matt Dominguez when he played.
Oh, big Dominguez fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Old buddy.
A little Ryan Getzlaff
action too. Absolutely. Okay. Well, best of luck here when you take on the Centennial Chargers here at Mosaic Stadium. And thanks for guesting with us on the Growing the Game podcast, okay?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Thanks for having me.
The Growing the Game podcast rolls right along with the head coach of North Battleford's high school football team, Mike Humany. How are you, Mike?
Hey, great today, Mike. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you for taking the call. Okay, so let's start right here at the championship game. You guys last week knocked off Tommy Douglas. Tell us about that contest.
Yeah, last week, you know, we had the opportunity to play for the Saskatoon 3A championship. We were last in the game in 2013 against BJM, and it wasn't a very good result for us that day. But, you know, we've worked really hard with this current group of kids that we have. This group of kids, they came up through our minor football program, and they won a Saskatoon KFL championship in the Bantam League 3 years ago in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same crew of guys that we had going into this season, and we knew there was going to be some big things kind of from that group. Actually, and interestingly enough, we had a pretty tough regular season game against Tommy Douglas, and we ended up in the losing score of that. But that was kind of a turning point in our season, and we changed some things around, and we kind of refocused and got our discipline in check. And it kind of led up to us getting into that final there against Tommy Douglas, which was, you know, it was played on a snowy night in Saskatoon. The weather wasn't at its best, but our guys came out flying. We made some number of plays, made a huge play to end the first half off to get the momentum on our side. And then the second half, we started rushing the ball a little bit more. And we won the turnover battle that night, and I think that ultimately ended up being the difference against Tommy Douglas. So, yeah, huge, huge win for our guys last week.
Okay, Mike, we're going to talk about how this whole football thing got started in North Battleford and your hand in it. But I started this podcast because I wanted to highlight coaches and I wanted to highlight players, our own local guys. And by local, I mean in this province. So let's highlight some of the, you know, maybe some of the coaches that have helped you out first. Talk about some of the guys on your staff.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you asked that, Mike. Our staff here in North Battleford is awesome. We have a good mix of in-school guys and a lot of good out-of-school guys. For like our in-school guys, they're all on staff. They're all former Vikings as well. They're all graduates of the program. Derek Wilkinson coaches our offensive line. He had an awesome career with the U of S Huskies and was on their first Vanier Cup winning team. And he's a real attitude type coach for us. And our O-line is always ready to play. And the other two on-staff guys are both Viking grads. Josh Redchenko coaches the quarterbacks and receivers. And also we have Sean Webster, who played a bit with the Hilltops as well. And we got some other school guys as well. And one of the main guys we have as an old school guy is actually the former head coach of the Vikings, Don Hodgins, who led our team to six separate provincial championships. And mm-hmm. He was a head coach when I played here, and he runs our defense. And his knowledge base is immense. You know, he's the guy that we talk to about when to call timeouts and when to go for two and all the emotional things that tend to kind of get the best of us during game.
He's your quality control coach, kind of.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then we got a couple other guys. Tanner Craig's a former player that's coaching with us now. Justin Puyak, once again, he's a former player that helps coach our D-line. And we have a guy, Dave Dutton, as well. His sons are starting quarterback. And interestingly enough, Dave was actually the quarterback for Yorkton in 1990 when they won the provincial championship. So we got a number of awesome coaches on our staff. I'll tell you, I'm not saying it's easy at any point in time when we're coaching football, but these guys make it a lot better each week and make our guys more game ready each day. Very, very, very happy to have these guys on staff with us.
And they're led by Mike Humany, who's the head coach of the North Battleford Vikings. Okay, Mike, so who gets to give the pregame speech? You giving it to the Godfather there, the quality control coach? Are you taking it? Is Dutton getting it because it's a Yorkton tie-in?
Well, we're gonna have a number of guys that are gonna kind of speak to the guys, but normally the way we let it shake down in the kind of in the pregame is, you know, we'll have our offensive and defensive meetings and then I'll have some stuff to say. But usually what I'll do is I'll talk to the other coaches beforehand as to what message we want to give to the guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the fortunate part about it is we get to play that game at home here at Beaver Line Stadium in North Battleford.
Right.
So I think it's going to be the biggest thing we're going to suggest to the guys is just to try to keep their emotions in check and understand what's actually at stake. But at the end of the day, we're just going out and playing a high school football game. Many things can happen. There's a lot of things that are going to be beyond our control, but hopefully our guys are ready for kickoff at 1:30 on Saturday.
That's outstanding. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the players because, you know, we like to highlight some guys that have given their blood, sweat, and tears starting right back from Bantam football to this point. So give us some of the names that we wouldn't otherwise know that we want to get to know.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm happy you asked that question as well. We got a roster right now of 43 players, and 25 of those guys are in grade 12, and they're going to play in their last game of high school football on Saturday for North Battleford. You know, offensively, we've been led all season long. Our quarterback, Damon Dutton, he's started every senior game that he's played. He's a three-year starter right from grade 10 all the way up. He's really matured as a quarterback this season.
He was the leading passer in Saskatoon. I think he threw at about a 70% completion rate.
Wow.
His touchdown to INT ratio was deadly. But he's gotten really, really, like I said, he's matured massively over the course of this season. We have an awesome group of receivers. One guy that I know Brian Gieber talked about last week in the podcast is Presley Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has gotten better each week. He sat out a couple of games with an ankle injury, but this guy's got big play potential every time he touches the ball. And our other guy is Zach Wolf, who he's done everything for us this season. It's been awesome. And once again, like our offensive line, we have five guys that can get the job done. We move them around at times with some of the different sets that we have. But we have, like I said, we got five guys. They're super physical. They're coached very well. And those guys, in my opinion, they've been probably the strongest unit that we've been with since I've been here in North Balfour as a head guy. I've been very, very happy with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
On the defensive side of the ball, once again, it's kind of defense by committee. Once again, we're led by a number of grade 12s. We have, once again, Gieves talked about him last week. Zach Weber kind of anchors the defense. He's been a football SAS guy. He's played at the provincial team. He went to Texas last winter. He's kind of the anchor on both sides of the line, but defensive line, he's awesome there. We got some linebackers, Nolan Much and Karsten Rolick. Those guys, once again, have been playing since grade 10. And on our back end, he was out with an injury for a while, but we had our safety back in the lineup last week, Trevor Southgate, number three. He led our team last week with 25 defensive points, and he's been—he was a very welcome addition to our back end last week. Once again, we're very happy to have him back with us in the game against Tommy Douglas.
Mike Humaney joining us here. He's the head coach of the North Battleford Vikings, playing in the 3A Provincial High School Football Championship against Yorkton. Before we talk about how you got to beat them, let's talk about let's rewind, my friend, and let's go back. Now, you grew up in North Battleford. You moved to Saskatoon. You and your wife moved back to North Battleford, and you start this program, this football program at the grassroots level. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know what? It was 2011 was when we started Balfour's Minor Football, and we modeled it after the program that Brian Giebert and the guys had started in Saskatoon with SMF, and we first of all ran some six-a-side programming.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of help from the RMF as well, then Antonini down in Regina. He helped us out with some equipment early on in the beginning, and we modeled a lot of our stuff after the RMF and how they do stuff in Regina, because I know that's one of the premier minor football programs in the country, let alone the province. But once we had that established for a little bit, then we entered the Saskatoon KFL League with our Bantam team. It was actually a high school team that we put in the Bantam League,
mm-hmm.
and we were successful in our second year. We won the league championship, the KFL. We're really proud of that. And those guys in that team are the guys that are going to be in grade 12 right now with their guys, so we have a lot of experience with those guys. But actually, the proudest thing that we did just happened on Sunday. This is the third year that we've had a PV team in the Saskatoon KFL, and we were actually victorious in the KFL final on Sunday against the Saskatoon Raiders. So our BMF Bucks PV team, once again, a great coaching staff with those guys. So once again, we're able to have some team success with those guys.
Yeah.
But once again, this, football in North Balfour, it was non-existent at the minor level.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a ton of great guys, dads that want to step up and help coach and go to clinics and just administer the teams and just do it in a correct way. And it's a bit of a buzz right now. We're actually going to introduce our Bucks team at halftime at the final on Saturday. So it's going to be a pretty big day for those kids as well. Excuse me, to get introduced in the final. So yeah, lots of good things happen here in the Balfours.
That's awesome, man. You're a coach and you're a builder. What do you like best about football? Take the wins and losses aside, whether you win or lose, just listening to your story, whether you win or lose this weekend, you guys are big-time winners in North Battleford. What do you like best about football?
Well, it's I've had the opportunity to work with and under a number of awesome coaches, and I think football is the ability to teach life lessons in many different ways. Wins and losses aside, it's more about the process.
Mm-hmm.
And about how we got to this point versus, actually what happens when we get there. Like, there's been a ton of time that's been put into these guys. We have a great group of parents. We have an opportunity to meet those parents, on a weekly basis and talk to them and kind of see how they react with their kids. And I guess the other great thing about football is just the fact that we can find a position on the field for any type of kid. We can find a spot for the big guys. We can find a spot for the little guys. We can find, there might be maybe a bit more of a non-athletic kid that we can find a spot from our team to make them part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
He can kind of have a bit of an identity with a group of people that he likes to hang out with every day at practice.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it a lot easier when the wins happen more than the losses, and we get to have some team success. But once again, football, like I said, it teaches life lessons on a daily basis. And once again, it's something that was instilled upon me by some of my former coaches. And we talk about that daily here, that it's more part of the process than it is about the end result. And I think our guys have bought into that.
Yeah.
And we're extremely, extremely proud of the efforts of our guys. And like I said, hopefully it all comes to, it comes to a head on Saturday afternoon. But we're not going to forget about the hard work and stuff we put in since these guys, they've been in this group of kids that's playing football on Saturday. A lot of them started, in grade 5 and 6. So these guys have been playing together for a while. So they're going to be playing for each other on Saturday. It's just that camaraderie as well, just being with the guys and, practicing, going to games. And it's like I said, it's going to be plenty of fun for those 25 grade 12s we have in the lineup there on Saturday.
Before we wrap up with game-related questions, you, of course, so we talk about being a builder. You're in the organizational side of things in Football Saskatchewan as a president. Are you concerned about the future of football? Obviously not North Battleford. It's coming up. But just the state of football, concussions, injuries, numbers are down a little bit. Are you concerned about football's future?
That's just a question that comes up all the time, and I know our guys in our provincial offices in Regina and Saskatoon, Jeff Dialzi and Mike Thomas, they field those questions on a daily basis, and they're really awesome and at the forefront of football Sask. I'm super excited about the state of football in our province. I know that it's sometimes downplayed in the media, kind of continent-wide, but if you look at what's happening in Saskatchewan, facility-wise, it's awesome. Regina with Libel Field and a new mosaic. You come into Saskatoon, you got Griffith Stadium and the revamped park at Gordie Howe Park, SMS Field.
Mm-hmm.
Our facilities, kind of countrywide, I think there's something to definitely be looked at and something that we should be looking forward for and showing everybody across the country, facility-wise, how well we are. With that being said, Saskatchewan's got a great following for football. It begins with the parent club, the Rough Riders, and it goes all the way down to our grassroots. Pass, putt, and kick things the Football Sask puts on. The Riders have a play in that, and it goes up through all levels of football. So, yeah, at times it can seem that football may be kind of on the numbers may be decreasing. But I think in our province, our numbers continue to increase. We have 20,000 members registered with Football Saskatchewan, and that dwarfs the numbers in comparison to other provinces.
Wow.
That maybe bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we're really proud about, and we hang our hat on that. But it's not just one person doing that. It's the executive guys at Football Sask, but it's everything from the head coach at U of S and U of R all the way down to the guys that coach their own sons in minor football leagues across the province. So, football in the province right now, I think it's awesome. And it's highlighted this time of year because it's playoff time.
Yeah.
But once again, super happy with the way things have gone. And like I said, those guys that get to work with the Football Sask, just a great group of guys. Those guys are second to none in the country in how they operate.
Okay, a couple last quick questions for you, Mike. The theme kind of this podcast this week is good teams play in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
I like that saying. So good teams play in the snow. We got a couple of good teams, North Battleford and Yorkton. How do you got to beat Yorkton this weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think Yorkton is a team that, similar to us, they've had to work to get where they're at. This is the first time that they've won the Moose Jaw League. They've been close a number of times. I know head coach down there, Sharp, he keeps his guys well in check, super physical. They got a number of athletes. From what I understand, they've been playing football for a long time, similar to our guys.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that it's going to come down to, and this is a cliched answer, but it's going to come down on Saturday. Exactly the same thing I said to the guys last week against Tommy Douglas. We can't let the weather be a factor. We got to be monsters on the line of scrimmage. And we got to take care of the football because that's going to be the big difference on Saturday. We saw it last week against Tommy Douglas. We won a turnover battle and we didn't let the weather affect us. I'm pretty sure those two things are going to come into play on Saturday against Yorkton.
Okay, and it's obviously, Mike Humany, it's a big day for the town. It sounds like, it could be, weather permitting, could be a nice crowd for you guys. Seems like it's a real, city-like atmosphere for this game.
Yeah, I give credit to our local people here in North Battleford. I know at times it's easy to kind of pick on people in town and stuff like that. But I made a single call on Monday morning to talk to our city guys, and our field was cleaned early Tuesday morning. I've had a number of guys business-wise kind of across town have been saying, hey, Mike, whatever you need, just let me know and we'll get stuff done. So the response has been awesome so far. Our local media outlets are really prepping up things. And here at the school as well, the SRC is getting on board. The players are buying in. The parents are organizing a big tailgate party. And it's going to be we hosted Holy Cross earlier this year, right before Thanksgiving, and the atmosphere that night was awesome. But I think this will trump that a lot more here on Saturday at 1:30 at Beaverline Stadium. Boy, I tell you what, our, our guys can't wait. I think it's going to be pretty special.
Well, you could hear by the coach talking for 15 solid minutes. He can't wait either. Good luck, Mike. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Talking with the head coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops, that would be Tom Sargent, going after their fourth straight national championship at the junior level and seventh in the last 8 years. Now, Tom, kind of the theme of this podcast is only good teams play in the snow. What do you think of that statement?
Hey, I love that statement because, you know, at the end of the day, it's that's where we're at. That's what we're doing, and we're used to it. So we have a game plan that we've used over the, you know, over the last 8 years, and it seems to be working. And the good thing is when we jump on the plane head to Windsor, it's going to be like they're arriving in Hawaii. So
yeah,
should make the guys feel pretty good.
No kidding. So are all your practices outdoors? Have you moved any indoors, or everything's outdoors?
Hey, straight outdoors. That's just no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the reality, and we're not looking for you know, you don't learn the same inside, and so we stay out there. And hey, these good old farmers, they got the bare arms going, and you know, it motivates everybody.
Yeah, Tom, go back to the semifinal game against the VI Raiders. You guys are really, I listened to that game, you guys really outclassed them right from the get-go.
Well, you know, it was our day, and you know, they came into our place, and 40-kilometer winds, and it was cold, and they got their stuff on, and you know, we just played our physical offense and defensive game, and they just weren't ready for that. And you know, we got the jump, we took the wind, and used that, got up to a good healthy lead. I think it was 37-0 at halftime. So you know, the players executed the game plan, coaches did a great job of putting players in the right spots, and you know, ultimately we played our best game of the year, and we need to carry that forward you know, this Saturday against Windsor.
You seem like a really tough-nosed football coach. How are you in terms of being a strategizer off the field in terms of traveling? Like, do you guys have special procedures or things you do to help yourself travel, especially in a big situation like this?
Absolutely, you know, so we're going to take a charter and we're going to maximize our time. So we leave, once we get off the plane, we're going right to the field where we're going to play, and we're going to have meetings, eating meat, and then we're going to do our walkthroughs, and then, you know, they'll get a little bit of time before we have the All-Canadian banquet, and then we form, you know, before everyone goes to bed, and it becomes our leadership forms where all my fifth-year players will have the opportunity to tell the importance of what they plan to do to represent the tradition and themselves in this game, and then it's up to the coaches and players to rally around these 10 fifth-year players to come up and coach and play our best game of the year to make sure they leave as champions.
So what I find interesting about your program, now, I realize it takes everybody to win, coaches, players, every player, all the bottle washers, everybody, but you really make it about the fifth-year guys, don't you?
But you know what, for them to show me that loyalty, I need to get it back in spades. And in, you know, in today's market, in today's world, all the CS coaches and recruiting and this and that, you know, it's not easy to keep players, but we seem to do that because, you know, what we give, I think we give them a lot, and to see when they start to where they end, it is truly unbelievable. And majority of these players, you know, they weren't blue chip players, but they were players that had chips on their shoulders that understood that, you know, if we're going to coach them hard, they play hard. All of a sudden they become the captains, the leaders of the team, and become the fabric of how we do things. And as I said, if you got to meet these young men, it'd make you real proud to see how far they've come. And as I said, their loyalty and commitment hopefully is honored come Saturday.
Certainly is an intriguing team, just because junior football, like high school football, is cyclical, and you guys continue to be at the top year after year. Do you stop for a minute, maybe in your office when you're by yourself or something, and kind of pinch yourself that, hey, what a run of success this has been?
Yeah, not a chance. You know what, as I said, I just want us to be 1-0 this week. And, you know, I've learned if you look at the past and you're not getting better, getting ready for the future. And, you know, I think those days will come eventually. But right now, when you're in it, you just live for today. And if you're not getting better today, you're getting worse. And so that's always been my mindset. That's what I try and sell and tell my coaches and players. And, you know, we're blessed to be in these situations. So, you know, let's not take them for granted. Let's take advantage of it. And, as I said, new opportunity comes Saturday. Let's make some lasting memories. It's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to go real well or real bad. We got to live with both.
So let me ask you this. How do you fuel your fire? Like, how do you keep it new for you? Because this is becoming like a regular game on the schedule for you.
Well, you know what? I guess I just love competition. I love the challenge. This is a different team the last year, or the team 7 years ago, and so I like forming and building the team. And you know, the way we started the year, I wasn't sure where we're going, but I'm telling you, we caught fire the last month. We've caught fire, and we're playing the way I expect us to see. We have standards and expectations, and so I love to try and get that team to that. And there's been many years where you know I've let teams down because I haven't gotten to that point. And so I guess the fear of failure is as good a motivator as anything for me.
Tom, have you ever thought about moving on and coaching at a different level or doing something else? Or are you quite happy where you're at?
Hey, the grass, you know, a lot of people think the grass is greener on the other side. There's no one more proud of being a Hilltop coach than me. And, you know, I got a great job on the side, too. The one thing when you're coaching amateur football, mm-hmm. you know, I got a full-time job I do all day before I get to walk into that Hilltop clubhouse where that becomes a full-time job. So, you know, to think where I've at, to be a principal of a high school and, you know, here in Saskatoon, Walter Murray, and to be a head coach of a football team with a great tradition of Saskatoon Hilltops, I'm in the best spots that anyone could be in. And, you know, as I said, as long as I got the energy to do both, that's what's going to keep me young and keep me moving forward.
Tom Sargent, head coach of the national champion, defending national champion, Saskatoon Hilltops. Tom, where does this – maybe this is a better question for after the game, but I'll talk to you right now. Where does this team rank amongst, say, the last three that have won championships here?
Well, you know, I think there's some teams that maybe we've had more talent. Maybe things have been a little bit easier. But the one thing I love about this team, we are so physical right now. That front seven on defense, that running game attack, our ground and pound mentality has really taken over. And, you know, you look the last three games, we've ran for over 280 yards against some real good defenses. And then defensively, you know, we got, I think, five sacks last week and four the week before. Like, it's just the line of scrimmages have really created an identity of being real physical, and that's the reason why we're in the positions we are. So I would say this ranks up with the physical team we've coached in a long, long time.
Okay, the Windsor AKO Fratmen are your dance partners here for the national championship game. What do we know about them, and what kind of problems do they present at Tom Sargent's Hilltops?
Well, offensively, they're very athletic. They got a couple jump ball receivers that get down the field and go get the ball. They got a dynamic quarterback, Brandon Riom, who's got great movement pattern, and he's like a point guard back there. He's one guy ain't going to take him down, so we got to have concerted rush. And then they got all-star running back, who you know, as I said, they're fast, they're quick, and they catch eye and tape. And then you go defensively. Once again, they're like us. Good front seven. They're very aggressive. We haven't played a team like this where they're blitzing at least one guy every snap, and you know, they try and be very disruptive, so they look to make plays. But I guess in our lens that we've been looking at, I think that they're going to give up a big play or two as well. So we just got to be game ready, and you know, when they do certain things, we got to make sure we respond better than that and make the big plays that I believe are waiting for you.
Okay, just to wrap up, Coach Sargent, let's shrink this down to one sentence. You finish it for me, okay, you educator. If the Hilltops are to win another championship, they have to
play great special teams and control the line of scrimmage. Life's good.
Good luck, my friend.
Much appreciated, Michael. Stay well.
All right, we're teeing up the Eastern semifinal between the Saskatchewan Roughriders and the Ottawa Redblacks with our friend Paul Waldo, three-time Grey Cup champ and a member of our football panelists, the group there on the Saskatchewan Roughriders Radio Network. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing great, Baldy. How are you?
Good. First off, if they want to get in the real estate game, how do they get a hold of you?
You can call me at 306-502-5355 or jump online. You know, I'm very happy in the social media game, or you can just email me, paul@homesvagina.ca.
Okay, cool, man. All right, so that is kind of weird. Eastern semifinal. The only thing that would make it stranger is if they were both still named Rough Riders.
Yeah. Would it have been the last time they would have played in a crossover match like that?
I don't know. The Riders have never been out that way, so no, I don't know. Ottawa's changed. Ottawa's changed names so many times. Who knows? But anyway, what hasn't changed? Kevin Glenn used to play in playoff football. He's going to get the start at quarterback for the Rough Riders. It'll be his 9 millionth playoff start. But it's Trevor Harris's first. Do you think? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a big advantage for the Rough Riders?
You know what? Not really. I mean, when you look at it, I think, you know, they're all professionals, and I think it's a matter of the momentum that you carry on into the playoffs. And I think that's the most important part. You know, at the end of the day, it's one game. It's not like it's a seven-game series in baseball, hockey, or basketball where it's dragged out. So I think you really need that postseason experience. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, you know, numbers don't lie. Obviously, KG's been there, and he's done it for years. So it'll be a good matchup between those two.
It's weird that a Rough Rider team goes in and they really don't have a set number one quarterback. Is that something we should be concerned about? Because you always say, you know, normally you say you're concerned about it, but maybe not so much this year. But then again, playoffs are different than the regular season.
They are. Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, if you can manage it throughout the season, I think it's fine. But you hope that you eventually have one that really outperforms the other and therefore you can give the reins to and say, okay, go ahead, and this gives you a chance to kind of get into a rhythm and you trust and believe in that one quarterback, especially when you look around the league, right? You know, you look at, you know, obviously you've got like Ricky Ray, and then you got Mike Riley and Matt Nichols. Everyone's got a bona fide starter except for our team. So that's in a bit of question. Obviously, the formula has worked for the last, you know, 10-plus weeks, but at the end of the day, it's a little concerning knowing that, I guess, neither quarterback has outplayed the other, you know?
Yeah, big concern for the Rough Riders. Probably, it looks like Brendan Labatt won't play in the game. Derek Dennis will get in there. That's a big blow to the Rough Riders. All-star lineman of the year for them. That was a huge injury.
Absolutely. I think when you look at the first, you know, 7-8 games of the year, obviously Labatt has done what he's always done, and then you get the big injury to Dan Clark, and then you just insert a guy like Labatt, you move him over, and then he's kind of, you know, he's heading the whole operation, and you still have him, and then it's no coincidence that the Rough Rider O-line starts at that point in time really start to become a cohesive force and playing some of the best football they've played. And then, you know, you get another injury, and then you insert Dan in there, and I think Labatt has been that common denominator. He's been the nucleus. So it's really going to hurt, I think, not only from a personnel standpoint, but even a ratio standpoint, because now you're going to have to start juggling guys around.
Going to be interesting to see how they fit some of these guys on the roster. Chad Owens has been a contributor down the backstretch here. Yep. Of course, Christian Jones has been good, and he always seems to play a big role here, and he can flip the field as he did last time in Ottawa when they looked dead to rights, and he scored that touchdown and got them going. Then, of course, you know, they've got the jam up at the running back spot. Looks like Trent Richardson probably won't play, but Cameron Marshall, all the running backs dressed in practice. They got to run the ball to win this game.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with the, I guess, the lack of quarterback play and having one guy that we think that has the experience to kind of take over the game. Once again, you're not sitting back there with Ricky Ray or a guy like Mike Riley. So you really got to be able to control the ground and control the line of scrimmage. So, you know, whether it's Trent running the ball in the backfield, I heard he was in the boot yesterday and then he was practicing in full gear today. So I don't know what's going on with the conflicting reports, but, you know, Cameron Marshall, we had talked about it obviously all year, is kind of been the unsung hero and in my opinion, the MOP, early on in the season. So they're going to have to really be able to run the football there to give themselves a chance.
You know, I think they got to feature Daron Carter too, and they got to try to somehow play him on offense predominantly, because they really need a spark offensively, and they got to get it to this guy.
No, I mean, he's your difference maker. He's your MOP. And you know, it's one of those things I always say, it's cost benefit. You know, are you going to put him on defense and take away what he does on offense? To me, it wouldn't make sense to go that route, especially when you have Casey Rogers, who's back and healthy and ready to go. So, in my opinion, you got to leave him on the offensive side. You got to target him. You got to make sure he's getting some one-on-one matchups and doing what he does in order to win.
Paul Waldo joining us here. A couple more quick questions for him here. Of course, three-time Grey Cup champ and a panelist on our Saskatchewan Rough Riders radio network on 620 CKRM. Okay, Paul, one interesting intangible. You definitely experienced this in 2013 when the Rough Riders were hosting the Grey Cup, and you're down to BC in the semifinal, and Durant takes the team on his back and really propels you into the West Final, and you go on and landslide the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the Grey Cup. Ottawa, they're hosting the Grey Cup. Pressure's on them, but I think that excitement and stuff is an intangible that we really can't weigh. Like, they're defending their turf. They're not going to go down easy.
You know what? Unless you've been a player in that locker room, and not only a coach, but I mean a player who can, I mean, directly impact what happens within those white lines, having the chance to host the Grey Cup, there isn't a bigger motivation. Obviously, I had the chance to do it in 2013, but I also had the chance to do it in Montreal in my rookie season in 2008. And the only thing we cared about, literally, was getting the opportunity to play in front of your home fans and doing it for the mother of all championships in our eyes, right? So that mitigating factor in itself is strong enough, I think, to drive teams to take it up a notch. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But you're exactly right, Ballsy. That's a great point, because a lot of people tend to forget that. And, you know, in the NFL, it doesn't happen as much. Obviously, there's so many different teams, right? But in the CFL, it's a realistic possibility every year.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's get some predictions for you. Let's start out here, or from you. Let's start out in the West. We got Edmonton and Winnipeg. Who do you got in that one?
Oh, God. You know what? I'm probably going to be the only guy to take them, but I just think for some reason, Winnipeg is one of those teams. You know, they were obviously up on BC last year in the postseason. And I don't think we're experienced enough to pull it together in the fourth quarter. I think they were up 17 at that point in time. I just think they've gone through it. They've gone through their ups and their downs. They've obviously played great football this year, winning 12 football games. And more importantly, they're at home. And if there's any team in this league that has home field advantage, really work in their favor, it's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I think. And so, you know what? I'm going to go with Winnipeg.
All right.
I'm the only guy to take Winnipeg out in the West.
Hey, that's a decent pick, because they got to try to end that Grey Cup drought. You know, they haven't won a Grey Cup since 1990, and they haven't won a Grey Cup as a Western team since 1984.
Absolutely.
So they're desperate for sure. Okay, and of course, let's focus on our game, the Rough Riders and Ottawa. Who do you got there, Paul?
God, you know what, Ballsy? It depends when you ask me. If you ask me 10 minutes from now, I might give you a different answer. But you know what? I'm just for some of the facts that we had talked about, and the one obviously the most recent with regards to having that extra push in order to host the Grey Cup, I think I'm going to take Ottawa in a very, very close one, 3 points or less.
Wow, and of course they've definitely had their way with the Rough Riders on the ground, so that might be a key too,
right,
with Powell and running the football, and of course, We didn't mention this either. The Ottawa Redblacks started, lost some really close games early. I think they were like 1-6 and 1, and they finished one game below 500, 8-9-1, and they are rested. They've had two byes in the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely, and there's nothing better. I mean, having a bye, it's like they're playing their Eastern Final this weekend. They've had the bye, and they've had a chance to obviously play the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, I think, twice in the last 6 weeks. So, they're going to know them. They're going to know them very well. They've had, obviously, one less game to have, significant injuries happen to him. Obviously, they're going to have Brad Sinopoli out, and I believe Gavin's their defensive halfback. But other than those two guys, I think they're pretty clean. And then you got to look at, obviously, the other side of the ball with the Riders and guys like Labatt and Trent Richardson going down. And obviously, Naaman Roosevelt coming off a pretty serious injury. So, yeah, I mean, with that being said, I'm going to take Ottawa on the close one. But, I mean, it's a coin flip. I hope the Green guys can put it together and stop the run and establish run for themselves, and they got a good chance.
And lastly, I didn't really mention the All-Stars, Carter, Labatt, and Roosevelt on offense, and on defense, Ed Gainey and Willie Jefferson. You think those are the right five to pick?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially if I was going to go with any five on that team, when you look at obviously the guys on defense, I mean, Ed Gainey is, in my opinion, is the defensive MOP of the year. You just can't say enough about. You just can't say enough about interceptions. Especially with the ones that he's had in multiple games, multiple times this year. You could talk about sacks. You could talk about tackles, but nothing does more for your defense or for your team in general than intercepting the football. And Jefferson has done this thing, been a little bit quiet as of late, but he's a consummate leader who forces teams to double team him and chip him and use their running backs, which frees up other guys like Atigo, obviously, who's had a pretty good year. Duron. I mean, they're probably the better, more athletic player than him in the league, and Naaman Roosevelt is one of the best as well. So it's and obviously Labatt. We talked about Labatt. That's 7 out of 9 years, I think, for Labatt.
Yeah,
7 out of 9 or 8 out of 10 years. He's timeless. So,
yeah, he's a stud. All right, this guy used to be a great up and coming defensive back, and now he's a great and up and coming announcer in the CFL. Thanks for this, Paul. We appreciate you guesting on Growing the Game.
I'm learning from the best, Ballsy. I appreciate you. Thanks for the opportunity, buddy.
Take care, pal.
See ya. Bye-bye.
And just before I sign off, I want to thank our sponsor, our first sponsor to get on board the Growing the Game podcast. And much like we hope the game of football grows, I hope this sponsorship grows so we can continue to bring this podcast to you. But I want to thank our first sponsor on board. That would be Mako Collision Repair Center in Regina. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair Center. Tell you what, Alan and Joe do great work over there and they're great staff here in Regina. Thanks to Alan for getting on board with this venture.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.